Merry Christmas. In this Christmas season, we're experiencing joy. We're experiencing a lot of fun, having a lot of fun. This morning already, we had wonderful presentations from the Sunday School and also from the OIC Choir. And now, I'd like to take a couple of minutes to just stop and kind of reflect a little bit. Invite you to spend a few minutes with me reflecting on the identity of Jesus Christ. You know, who is Jesus whose birth we're celebrating today? Let's think about that for a few minutes. The baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, of course, this is Jesus and we're celebrating that birth. But the story of his coming, the story of the coming of Christ, begins back in the eternal past, literally before time began. The story of Christ has already started. You know, since the theories of Albert Einstein have been published, we've come to understand more and more that there's a clear relationship between energy and matter and time. And actually, you know, without matter and energy, time itself literally does not exist. Now, that's very hard for us to think about or to imagine, but it's very clear, you know, without matter and energy, time itself does not exist. And so we understand that time is part of the creation of God. It's part of what God created. Now, Einstein discovered these things fairly recently, you know, 100 years ago or so. But, you know, there's one place where this concept and these ideas have been revealed since ancient times. You know, the Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now, those words don't mention time directly, but when we look at the full context of Scripture, we can see clearly that the Bible is teaching us that time also is part of this creation, that the Genesis creation is not speaking only of the creation of matter and energy, but also the beginning of time itself. This is in harmony with what Einstein discovered recently, but we can learn from the Scriptures thousands of years ago. You know, the Bible teaches us the story of Jesus Christ coming to be born in Bethlehem, actually begins in that eternal past, even before Genesis 1:1. That's kind of hard to get our minds around, kind of hard to think of. But that's what the Bible reveals to us. Take a look at the words of Jesus' prayer in Luke chapter 17. We're just going to look at verse 24 for a moment. Take a look at this. It says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Before the creation of the world. The Father loved the Son. And the Holy Spirit was there as well, as we know from the full counsel of Scripture. And before the world was created, the Bible teaches the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, already formed a circle of love, a loving relationship of each loving one another. God in three persons, bound together by love. Now the essence of God is found in this love. And the love of God is expressed in creation, especially the creation of men and women, and our capacity being made in God's image to love God and to love one another. It's expressed in creation and, of course, in redemption and salvation as well. Have you ever read Titus chapter 1? Did you ever stop when you read it and think about the words that come out in verse 2. Titus 1 verse 2 says, "A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." Promised before the beginning of time. That's exciting. God promised eternal life even before He created time and space. Think about that for a moment. You think about it, a question might arise in your mind. Who did God promise this to? To whom did God make the promise? Well, there weren't any people there, because God hadn't created yet. There weren't any angels, because they're part of creation as well. God promised to Himself. God promised to God to provide eternal life for us, those who trust in Jesus Christ and are saved, before the beginning of time. In other words, this promise to give the gift of eternal life to all who trust in Jesus was made between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in that community of the Trinity of God. This promise was made in, you know, God does not lie. God does not break His promises. And God's power and wisdom are absolute. So we find already before God created the heavens and the earth, before the beginning of time, our salvation is already accomplished in the promise of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, you know, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Find the same thing here again. The work of salvation is accomplished by Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago. And we receive that salvation when we trust in Jesus Christ and believe in Him. Yet in the promises of God, all of these things are already complete before time began. We speak of the birth of Jesus Christ. We speak of the great miracle of the incarnation. God coming into this world, Jesus, leaving that eternal throne and being born in the little town of Bethlehem and laid in a manger. You can find the story of Christmas in John chapter 1, sort of told from God's perspective. And just two of the key verses, you know, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 teaches us, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. This miracle of the incarnation, the Christmas story, that God came into our world to live and eventually to die as a man. He's raised again on the third day and alive forevermore. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is God the Son, Creator and Redeemer. Now, I want to go to a passage of Scripture here, Hebrews chapter 1, and we're just going to read 8 verses at the beginning of that. And as we read this, just think about what it's really saying about Jesus and who Jesus is. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be His Father and He will be my Son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." In speaking of the angels, He says, He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire. But about the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of Your kingdom." Amen. The Bible affirms and teaches us that God speaks in many ways, and He's spoken even to our ancestors and to people throughout history in many different ways. The Old Testament prophets, you know, they spoke boldly of the truth and justice of the Creator God, proclaiming Him to the people. But we also see the beauty of places like the Naupali Coast in Kauai, Hawaii. This is a beautiful place. And when you look at this and you're there, you can just feel God's love in His having created this sort of beauty and given us the ability in our hearts to appreciate and enjoy that. And we can feel His blessing. And we see how He delights in giving us joy. And we look up to the skies, and now, of course, we have these big telescopes, Hubble telescope and things, and we can look out there, and we can see the universe, galaxies like this sombrero galaxy, you know, in the shape of a Mexican hat. That's what a sombrero is. Very unique and unusual structure. And in that, we see the power and the majesty of God and His eternal wisdom. The wonder of the universe astounds us. And all of these things and more teach us about God. But the greatest revelation of God in His love is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we read in our scriptures, we learn all about Jesus. Because Jesus is that perfect revelation of God's love. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we just read, said, through whom He made the universe. God created the universe through Jesus, God the Son. And when we read these words, we realize that even back in Psalm 19, it's already talking about the work of Jesus, because God created through Jesus. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Stars and galaxies made by God through God the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the one who came to be born in Bethlehem. God came to live as a man because of His great love for us, to provide eternal life as He promised even before the world began. And verse 3 tells us, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. The exact representation of God's being. Colossians 2:9 says very much the same thing. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The story of Christmas is the story of God coming to be with His people. The story of Jesus, God the Son, leaving His throne in the eternal heavens to be born into the world He created in order to fulfill the promise of salvation and eternal life that was made before time began. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul was teaching them about having an attitude of humility. But then as he's teaching them about humility, he points to Jesus as the perfect example of humility. And he gives us, in a sense, another version of the Christmas story. You know, the Christmas story appears in a lot of places besides the Gospels, you know, when we look through the Scriptures. This is kind of the Christmas story, too. It's talking about Jesus and having an attitude like Jesus says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being born in Bethlehem, right? That's what it's talking about. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And of course, He rose again on the third day to eternal life. And He's alive forever and He's here with us now. God, in the person of Jesus, made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and dying on a cross for us. Nailed to that cross for us. Bleeding and dying for us. Because He loved us so much. And verse 3 says, after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Who is Jesus? Jesus is King of Kings, Messiah, Savior, Lord, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Light of the World, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Son of God and God the Son. And He became the Son of Man when He was born into this world on that first Christmas morning 2,000 years ago. But long before that, Jesus is God, even before the beginning of time. Eternal God. Eternal God. 2,000 years ago, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he pointed at Jesus. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's our sins. We're part of that world, right? Takes away our sins when we trust in Him. This Christmas season, let's remember that tiny little baby in the manger, Jesus, is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. And like Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, we call him, the disciple who was slow to believe in the resurrection. But when he met the living Lord, he did believe and he made the good confession of faith. Like Thomas, let's bow before Jesus and say, "My Lord and my God." In his verses we read in Hebrews, it talked about the angels also. And you know, God created the angels to be powerful beings. You don't want to go one-on-one with an angel. You'll get whooped every time. They're tough dudes. If you read in Scripture some of the things angels do, you don't want to go one-on-one with an angel. They're tough. They're powerful. But they are part of God's creation. They're commanded to bow down and worship Jesus because He is Lord over all creation. Jesus is Lord over all. The author of Hebrews is very bold in proclaiming that Jesus is God. Verse 8, he said, speaking of Jesus, he said, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom." These words are a quote from Psalm 45, verse 6, where the psalmist is speaking prophetically about the Messiah to come. Truly, Jesus is Messiah and Lord, God over all creation. And He loves us so much, each and every one. This Christmas, you know, we go out and we enjoy the Christmas lights, the illumination and stuff, you know, and the beauty of decorated Christmas trees. And you like Christmas cake? Christmas cookies? Oh yeah, I like good stuff. Santa Claus, who likes Santa Claus? Go ahead, confess. Admit it, you like Santa Claus, don't you? Santa Claus is fun. Another Christian giving his testimony about Jesus, when we understand right. This Christmas, it's great to go out and enjoy all these things, but we need to remember, it's about Jesus. Amen. Our Lord, our Savior, God. Come into this world because He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. And He wanted to fulfill the promise of eternal life that He gave even before time began. And that gift of eternal life is yours for everyone who trusts in Jesus. Trust in Jesus and be saved. The Christmas story, we read it, and sometimes we get to thinking about the manger and, you know, the donkeys coming, you know, and the mice gathering around, the three kings who probably weren't kings at all. Probably weren't even three of them, probably a whole big group of them, but they came and they gave three gifts, so people think of three kings. All that stuff, we read it. We need to remember who Jesus really is. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it said, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That's who Jesus is. He's God with us. He's here now. Let's pray. Loving Lord, Almighty God, Creator of the universe, sustainer of all things, thank you. We praise your holy name. Thank you for loving us, for providing for us, for meeting our needs, for meeting that greatest need of all, forgiveness of sins, for providing restoration of our relationship with you through the death of Jesus our Lord on the cross. Lord, I pray that this Christmas that you would touch us by your Holy Spirit, and you would help us, each and every one, to open our hearts wide to you, to trust in Jesus completely, to believe your word, to be filled with your love, and to share that love with all the people we meet. Lord, I pray that each and every one and families and friends would have a Merry Christmas. But even more, I pray that it would be a blessed Christmas, blessed with your presence, blessed with faith, joy and peace, received through faith in Jesus Christ. Help us all to believe in you, to trust in you, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, to know and receive your promises. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.